certain obstacles through work that just made it more clear that something needed to be dealt with. And therapy wasn't quite working as well. I went about the business of determining what I needed help with and found out that that was the case and just started on the journey. And at the same time, I had just started hiking, probably within months of those.
Hey, welcome to Travel Tuesday Happy Hour, where we interview dope people doing dope things from around the world. Today, we have an amazing guest. My friend, tell us who you are and what do you do?
What's up? Hey, Paige, and everybody. I'm Ralph Lee, and what do I do? That's a good question. I live life, and I try to infuse passion into everything that I do. And for work, I'm a director of inclusion at an advertising agency, Arts and Letters Creative Company, here in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay. Now, I mean, not to state the obvious, but what is a director of inclusion, especially for an advertising agency? What does that look like?
Well, I'm trying to define what that looks like for me, okay. New role as of this year, but it's a shortened version of a director of diversity, equity, inclusion, and is focused on creating space for people of color to make their way into the industry.
Okay.
And it's much more than that. Mm-hmm. It's recruiting. It's focused on how do we look in different places to find that untapped talent. It's creating space for people of color within an agency that is way more times than not predominantly white. It's shifting the culture in one kind of microcosm of the country that is a company, in this case, an advertising agency, built on ideas and people's perception of, you know, how they move around in the world and how they interact with products and services and things that they consume and how they can see themselves in it. And just making that more realistic to what we see in the world.
Okay. So,
shortened version.
Love the short version. So I'm gonna ask another real question, right? As you work in marketing, one of the biggest things is buzzwords, right? We know with everything that's occurred within this last 400 years of African-American history, and then more recent, us having to kind of be forced to sit down and pay attention, unfortunately, close attention to what's been going on more recently. Do you feel as though that diversity, inclusion is becoming more of a buzzword in across the industries? Regardless of, you know, the demographics that they support, so that organizations can seem more sensitive to what's going on? Or do you think that this is a genuine push towards real inclusion?
It's been a buzzword for quite a while.
Okay.
Decades. Probably more so in the last decade than ones before. So it's not anything new that it's buzzwords and the terms used to explain diversity, equity, inclusion. There are also buzzwords there. So I would say that what's happened over this year, over the summer with George Floyd and the response and Breonna Taylor and so many others, it has awakened a sensitivity to agencies. And it's hard to say if it is an authentic and real awakening, mm-hmm. or if it's just something for the moment that will die down come 2021. And sorry, that was my dryer.
Okay. It's all good.
But there's a lot more scrutiny and eyeballs on what companies are saying they're going to do in the wake of George Floyd and this huge wave of companies wanting to restructure and make changes, that it's going to leave a lot of people open to vulnerability, a lot of companies open to vulnerability when, you know, their names are called and it's asked, what have you done? So I think it's an awakening, and it will have reactions. It has had reactions across the board, some authentic, some not. We see it in advertising campaigns since the summer. And, you know, time will tell. So I hope that it's real. It feels real looking several months after the fact and just kind of tipping my head into what the industry is talking about and what people are doing. But to be honest, I'm more focused on what I can do. My one person showing up at my company and in this world can do, along with what we have about 150 employees at the agency, and trying to just figure out what we can start to do and do more of it. Because, you know, it's not like there hasn't been any efforts to make change and do the right thing. It's just that it's typically not as long lasting and as impactful as we'd all want it to be as people of color in the advertising industry.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. You also mentioned earlier a liver of life and then marketing campaigns. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, you used to be a model for outdoors company, right? Well, outdoors-ish company. Mm-hmm. So tell us about this and kind of like clear this up for me. So like, what exactly were you doing? And it was for REI, I believe.
Yeah, it was for REI. Yeah. So let me just be clear first and foremost. I wouldn't qualify myself as a model per se. I just got lucky twice.
Okay. I mean, look, you know, that's more than some of us got. So it's just kind of giving you your flowers while you got them. You know what I mean?
I appreciate it. You need some more flowers in your background. You got a lot of foliage back there, but I don't
see. Hey, look, this is, you know, this is the falls up in Ghana. I just had to share some of my content. This time last year I was in Ghana. So, you know, I just wanted to really kind of show some of the footage that I was able to capture, you know, enjoying the outdoors, just like you like hiking and all of this stuff that led you on the cover of REI. So full circle, baby.
All right. I dig it. I appreciate it. And like, you know, just calling that out, because a lot of times personally, one thing that I try to be aware of and acknowledge in myself is giving myself props where possible, because I'm the last one to do that for myself. So
you and me both.
But to answer your question, another long story made short is I'm from New York, I'm from Queens, and I moved to LA back in 2011 and had never hiked or camped in my life, and discovered the outdoors and started hiking and eventually got into camping. And then eventually I got so excited about it that I fell in love with it, really, just that innate connection that you get when you touch nature and you're immersed in it. And I started a hiking group called Trailblazers, and I would take people out every month to go on hikes, and predominantly people of color, and trying to expose more of us to the outdoors like I was. And I wanted to get better at it and just know what I was doing more. So I went and took a navigation training course through the Sierra Club, and I met this young lady who's an outdoor journalist, and we became friends along with a few others. But she was kind of my gateway into the REI world, because she was already asked to do a campaign with them, and then she needed to bring some friends that were diverse. And luckily, I was right there, and I got lucky, and she hit me up, and we did one campaign, and it was a print campaign for REI in 2016, and it was near Palm Springs. Idlewild is the location. It's the mountain town near Palm Springs. And then
2 years later in 2018, she hit me up again. We had talked in between then, but she hit me up after not talking for a while. And just was like, hey, REI wants to do it again. But this time in Hawaii for like 8 days.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about, man.
All expenses paid. I'm like, okay, I'm in. So I took off work. Luckily at my agency at the time, it was unlimited vacation. So I was able to take off for the whatever, 8-10 days. And yeah, that was that. And had a great time.
That's amazing. I mean, here's the thing about that is like, you know, you as a New Yorker, I mean, Queens, unless you're going up to the Catskills or to the mountains, you're really not going to be able to be exposed to the things that you can't. Ironically enough, everybody goes to California, all of a sudden become outdoors people, right? Mm-hmm. And that's just because depending on where you go, it leads into that because there's so much beautiful scenery that you're exposed to, except for the which is completely opposite to the concrete jungle, right? But
if you if you stop anywhere in Los Angeles and look around you, there are mountains. Like you're 20, 30 minutes from any, from a trail, you know?
Exactly.
So yeah, unless you just are adamantly against, you know, the hurdles of being in the outdoors so much that you don't expose yourself to it, you have no choice because somebody's gonna invite you on a hike at some point.
Exactly. And now that leads me to, what was your first travel experience? Was it going to college and then leading you into flying to California, or what was your first experience? I know for me, my first international experience was going to Haiti, but my first travel experience was maybe going to Lake George, upstate New York. You know what I mean? So kind of like, because I think a lot of times people may not take the definition of travel as domestic as well. For some of us, that's all we've been able to do. And so for some of us, we're fortunate enough to be able to go further. So what was like the first travel experience that you can remember?
Well, a couple of things real quick. One, there was someone had mentioned this to me, or I might've read it somewhere or I don't know, but when I was in LA, the thing that really sparked me to start the hiking group was someone that mentioned that a lot of people in LA that are like east of the 405, so like not necessarily close to the ocean, especially when you get in the hood, a lot of people some people haven't even been to the beach. It's apparently like a real thing. Like I'm like, I came all the way from the East Coast. I mean, there's water there, right? But like the Pacific Ocean, like it's right there. And you mean to tell me that there are kids that haven't, you know, been exposed to the ocean or to a hiking trail or what? So like, that was really my goal, was to just break that as much as possible. But anyway, it just kind of, your question sparked that. And also I wanted to ask you, how did you delineate between your trip to Haiti versus your trip? Where was your other trip?
To Lake George.
Lake George. So you said that you wouldn't consider the trip to Haiti travel.
Oh, no. I said I consider both of them travel. So first of all, I'm the interviewer and you can't be asking me questions. Nah, right, I'm just fair. Joking. Right. I'm just joking. No, the reason I stated that was I think there's a lot of misconception with travel, how you conceptualize travel, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of my first few guests last season, you know, she expressed she was a mother of, you know, two young children, and being able to travel was, you know, creating an adventure for the kids, getting in a car and driving somewhere and seeing somewhere different than Brooklyn or, you know, Miami or, you know, wherever. And so for me, those travels didn't necessarily stick out as much as going to Haiti, because it was like a different world, different language, different experience. But my fondest memories were, you know, going out to Lake George every summer with the family, because it's what my mom could afford with four children. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so it wasn't till we got older, or unfortunately certain like situations that happen in family, you'd have to go away for a funeral or something of that nature. And that's why we were traveling a lot of the times. But like, no, I take both of them as travel experiences. It's just my most memorable first travel on a plane was to Haiti. But yeah, I remember all the little ones in between.
Okay, got you. I was just curious. All right, so let's see. My first time traveling, and you know, it's funny, like I would have answered this differently yesterday at this time than I am now, because I'm in the process of moving apartments. And I'm just going through a lot of stuff and purging. So I came across something that reminded me of just what I was doing in elementary school when I was growing up in Queens. And what I remember most probably is my after school and summer camp time at the Police Athletic League, and how that would expose me to different things, especially during summer camp. And probably my first time traveling would either be going to, where do we go? Ozone Park to a pool or something, going somewhere outside of my neighborhood to go to a park and, you know, go to like a amusement park or something. It was either that or going to South Carolina to visit family. So somewhere in between.
That must have been interesting. It's completely different from Queens.
I mean, I went from seeing lightning bugs that I could catch in a jar to dragonflies
that big. Right.
And I remember just being terrified by these dragonflies, even though I was told that they wouldn't bite. Still, those are too big and they're moving too fast for me to be relaxed.
Right.
But yeah, so, culture shock for sure.
Okay. And so from there, how did your spark for travel get ignited, really?
I mean, as a kid, the thing I enjoyed most about traveling is how refreshing, I'm sure it had to do with location and the fact that we were going to the South a lot in the summer. It'd be crazy hot. Mm-hmm. And I just remember how cold and refreshing the air conditioner would be in whatever hotel we'd stay in. That was the thing that got me excited when I was a kid. And of course,
because you can't blaze the AC all day every day at the crib. You know what I mean? Look, you ain't paying for the electric bill. Put that thing down.
Exactly. And it was more fun in New York to go open up a fire hydrant or go catch an open fire hydrant anyway. So I was outside more than anything. But that was probably what, you know, excited me when I was a kid to travel. But as I got older, I'm trying to think, what was my first like trip as an adult that really got me excited? I moved to LA when I was, you know, like I said, in 2011, when I was what, 24? Okay. And
that's prime time. Like you the man out there. You living nice.
It was a great time to be alive, you know, pre-COVID days in a place that I had only visited once on an interview, but had seen so much of in media, and I just had to touch it. And I luckily was able to get a job and relocate out there, and it just like opened my whole world up. I lived there for 6 years. So that was, you know, that was like my first real adventure, you know, just like getting out and exploring the country without any parachute. I just rolled. Okay. I mean, I had a job, but
yeah. Got you. So you made it to LA, you discovered the outdoors. What about the outdoors really draw you in? Other than its beauty, right? Or maybe its beauty is what drew you in, but what was it that led you from just, all right, let me go this hiking tour and just see what it's about, to hosting your own hiking tours and then, you know, being showcased on REI? Like, what were the things about hiking in the outdoors that really like drew you in?
It's a good question. Is what it did for me mentally and spiritually. Like, I didn't, so in the day-to-day rat race of work and life, it has an impact on some people more than others. And for me, it's, you know, I have ADHD, which I didn't realize before I moved to LA and until I was hit with certain obstacles through work that just made it more clear that something needed to be dealt with. And therapy wasn't quite working as well. I went about the business of determining what I needed help with and found out that that was the case and just started on the journey. And at the same time, I had just started hiking, probably within months of those of the diagnosis. And I started to use the outdoors more intentionally. And it was a space to clear my mind. So on a mental level, I needed it, really. Okay. And then spiritually, just being centered, right? Kind of like where you are with your background of water running naturally, trees, flowers, animals, birds, all the things, the earth, because you're literally on a mountain, you know what I mean? Like a protrusion of the earth, like you're amongst the things that God or whomever you choose as your creator created, and the stuff that we've had no hand in, and you just sit there and you're kind of a part of it, you know? So it's a feeling that just connects back to like spirituality in like the realest way. So those are like the two main reasons why I enjoy it. And I just felt like after hiking 20 or 30 trails in LA, and didn't even realize how much like knowledge I had amassed of the areas around LA, I'm like, more people need to experience this. So, you know, and also the ability to connect with people. Because when I take someone on a hike, I mean, I don't know any circumstance that you get an opportunity to connect with someone more, where you're in just like silence and nature sounds, and it's just y'all two or y'all three or however many there are, and you're just vibing and talking and or being quiet, whatever the case may be. So yeah, those are probably like the main reasons I would say that I enjoyed and just kind of led me to bringing more people on.
Nice, nice. So that covers hiking and the outdoors. So what drives you to like travel, right? Like what drives you to say, all right, I want to take this trip to wherever your next destination is? What is it also part of that peace of mind, that getting out of the mundane day to day? Or is it just, once again, just maybe similar to your hiking in the outdoors, is exploring new terrain, exploring new places to find your zen?
The adventure is the thing for me. So traveling either within the US or abroad, it's the adventure, it's the unknown, and being okay with what happens whenever I get there. It's exploring cultures that I haven't, and learning more about people, because that's really the core of it. Is I enjoy being around people and enjoy understanding people's stories and connecting. So those two things for sure. Oh, and food.
I don't blame you on that one.
Yeah, that's an undying passion for sure too.
So you mentioned the fact that, you know, diversity inclusion is not a recent buzzword, but is a buzzword that's been magnified as of recent because of George Floyd, because of Breonna Taylor, and many others that we've kind of had to sit down and watch be brutalized or have their lives taken for unnecessary reasons. As a Black man, as you travel, even during some of these hikes or as you travel abroad, do you find the same treatment or do you find it that you're, because of how Black men are treated here, you're kind of treated different in other countries or in other places that you visit?
That's a loaded question.
Yeah, that's the point.
All right, so when I travel, and I'll just use like a very recent experience as one example. Like I've been living in Richmond now for almost 2 years. And with the pandemic, I haven't been able to make good on my promise to myself to get outdoors and hike and do outdoor things as much as I've wanted to, but I have been able to dabble a little bit. So just before Christmas, I took a solo retreat to a cabin at a state park near Virginia Beach. And it was an exciting time for me to spend, to like regather myself. And for all the reasons that I had mentioned, not having a lot of time. I have a 5-year-old son. I'm in a new relationship, new job. There's a lot of things happening. I'm moving, a lot of transition. So I haven't been able to spend a whole lot of time alone. So it was much needed. But when I went out to this trip, I was very mindful of where I am as well, and how, you know, everyone's views are in aligned with my views, especially the view of me, and especially being, you know, in a place that's kind of secluded. Luckily, it was close to civilization enough to where I didn't feel so secluded that I needed to take extreme measures, but I had to make sure that I was on a swivel. My head was on a swivel and I had protection, and I made sure everything was, you know, made sure that I had a plan in case the worst case scenario.
Right.
So, you know, I had a knife. I don't have a gun license yet, but I'm working on it. But, you know, I had a protection piece with me at all times just to make sure, just in case, because it's a real threat. And people will remind me, even when I was in LA or anywhere else, when I went camping, you know, of just of safety. And, you know, I feel less threatened when I go camping because, I have not run into many issues at all with people. Everyone's just so open and kind in the outdoor scene in LA, and same with Oregon, but that's where I lived before. Sorry to mix things up, but before Richmond. But in Virginia, it's a whole different ball game for me. I'm very much on alert. So that's top of mind. And, you know, it doesn't take up all of my mental energy when I go out to camp, you know, to stay in a cabin for 2 nights, but it is something before I go to bed that I think about, you know. And when I wake up, you know, has anything happened? I go out and look in my car.
How is that differ from your international travel?
So my international travel, I haven't been to a ton of places. I've been to a few. I've been to London, to Paris, to Hong Kong, Bahamas, and probably when I'm traveling internationally. It is, I mean, I guess it's very much the same thought process is, but on a much grander scale, because not only is it, you know, the color of my skin that I have to think about people that might not, you know, respect that yet in the way that, you know, gives us all that equality that we need to move around the world comfortably, but also what other perceptions of this American Black man in particular would potentially fuel any type of conflict that could arise. So there's another level to it for me when I'm traveling internationally, but definitely head on a swivel. And even on top of that, just, you know, other things that anyone would have to worry about, pickpocketing and,
right. You know. Now, do you feel that as though that's a conditioned behavior over time, seeing so much things happening here that we automatically take that with us wherever we go? I mean, I'm not saying never have your head on a swivel, right? But I think, you know, we've been conditioned to like think, oh, we're possibly going to be treated the same way everywhere we go. We're possibly going to be judged everywhere we go. I think now, oddly enough, there is more empathy for Black men and women internationally than there has probably ever, right? You have countries that pretend they never had slavery, but because they've abolished it so much sooner, they tend to turn their nose down to the United States and how they do things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, making them look a lot nicer in a sense towards people of color. But, you know, do you feel as though that the way you feel and move around internationally is kind of, I don't want to use the word triggered, but kind of something that's been conditioned to you that, hey, you know, no matter where you go as a Black man, you need to look out for yourself, not necessarily out for common safety reasons, but because you are a Black man?
Well, I have not traveled internationally this year at all. So I can't speak to the current climate internationally for myself, but in terms of being conditioned to be on alert when traveling as a Black man, I probably would have to give you a mixed response of 50% yes and 50% no, because have I been conditioned based on my experiences here and also just the general experiences Black people in America? And has that been ingrained in me subconsciously? For sure.
Okay.
So, you know, I just chalk it up to, you know, being worried or being in slight fear of safety only makes you more prepared, and I'm okay with that.
Okay.
But then on the other half of the no half, I would say there's just a general level of safety that you have to just assume when you travel, no matter who you are. And, you know, it can vary, and you just don't know what, like, just look at our country. Like, anything could happen in any city for any reason. You just read a headline and you're like, whoa, what? Like, this guy just decided to shoot up a whole music festival in Las Vegas from a hotel window. Like, why? And you just don't realize that terrorism is everywhere.
Right.
And it can go down at any moment. So, you know, I'd say it's a mixed answer.
Okay. So you mentioned not being able to really get out much lately because of COVID and everything like that. Where were you when things started to shut down? You know, how did that kind of impact life for you?
I remember being at work, and the day that, I want to say it was March 13th, that our company just announced that we would start working from home indefinitely. Yeah. And prior to that, maybe like a day or two, I don't know if you got this message too, but there was a message or like a recording of a Black woman's voice saying that she knows someone or works for the Pentagon, and that there's going to be a national mandatory shutdown and you won't be able to go to grocery store. Did you get that?
No, I didn't get that.
So yeah. Several people in my circle had gotten it. And I was like, whether this is true or not, it's close enough for me.
Right.
So I went to the grocery store and probably spent about $200 on canned goods and,
and being an outdoorsman, you knew what you needed to get a hold of.
Yeah.
But you ain't worrying about, you know, getting caught up like everybody else was during that time.
Exactly. Self-sustaining. I had tea candles or just sources of light, all types of stuff that I just needed to just make sure I got. And I spread it the word just to make sure everyone else was, you know, aware. But yeah, that was, I was just holed up in my apartment, you know, until more information came down. But yeah, that's where I was.
Okay. And so how are you adjusting to the new normal? Like, because I know we came down to visit and we experienced daddy daycare / daddy homeschool and work at the same time. Yeah. That must have been a very unique experience, at least the first time, right? Because we came, what, second half? Or was it still the first half? I think it was still the first semester. So last semester.
Yeah.
How was that introducing homeschool? Because I know you on and off weeks, right? Mm-hmm. So how was that introducing homeschool, work, and then really like giving him the attention that he needs, during a pandemic?
Oh man, one of the most stressful times of my life. Hence the need to go to that cabin, you know, last week for a couple nights. Yeah. I felt like I was just kind of decompressing the entire year. But man, this summer was challenging because, I mean, first of all, I just, as I do with anything that I feel needs attention, effort, like I just mentally prepare myself for whatever, and I put my head down and I go for it. So the way that I would handle supporting him with virtual school when he's with me, because like you said, I had him 1 week every other week. And I would support him in virtual school. I was managing a production for a Google ad campaign, which a global campaign, and it was probably one of the most involved production that I've ever been a part of. And it was tough. I had a couple of points where I had to have a real talk with myself, and I almost broke down. And I wouldn't realize until a Friday, once the work is done and I've put him to bed and I had some quiet time. And it wouldn't happen every Friday, but it would happen probably, I think the first time it happened, I'd probably been like a month straight. And I think there were times within that particular month that I had him for like 2 weeks instead, because his mom had to travel for work. So I kept him longer. And it would just hit me like, wait, I just did all that. I'm tired. Like I'm tired and there's a lot of stuff undone. And I know why his name's Channing, and you know, for everyone who might hear this. And I haven't given Channing enough time this week. Like I need to figure something out. So during the summer, luckily the YMCA here in Richmond had a this was during the summer, so he wasn't virtual learning yet. So it was just more, that was even worse, because before virtual learning in the fall, the summertime was even more hectic because I had to create engaging educational plan for him and try to factor in some playtime and just like stimulate him like all day and work. And it was just crazy. So luckily I was able to, a friend of mine had suggested the YMCA summer camp because their kids were in it and they had solid social distancing, COVID-19 protocols that made me feel comfortable. So I talked it over with his mom, we put him in there, and that helped because at least for a few hours out of the day, I was able to focus on work. So there were ways to deal with it, but man, it was a stressful time. And I know my work suffered a bit because, you know, I just wasn't at my best, but everyone was in the same place. So there was kind of a collective understanding that, all right, we're all doing the best we can and we'll work through it. So,
yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Cause I mean, you know, I've talked to a couple guests who are parents, and, you know, there's a newfound respect for educators. You know what I mean? Wow. I was just talking to an educator on the more higher administrative level, and he was explaining to me how, you know, they have to look at each child on a holistic view, from feeding them, because some kids don't get food at home in the mornings and the afternoons, making sure their medication is available to them at home, making sure that they're still getting the therapy that they would be getting at school. Like, yeah, we forget that school is not just a place of education, it's a place of well-being while they're in their custody. So, you know, as parents, you guys are feeling some of the pain that multiple people have to deal with in making sure your child is properly cared for and educated throughout the day. Yeah. So there definitely is a much found, newfound respect for educators in the school system. So we're gonna move forward with travel. What are Ralph's travel tips in, you know, getting out there? Just not necessarily getting on a plane and traveling, but like really just getting out there and experiencing the world, whether it be domestically or internationally.
Well, I'm putting local travel higher on my list for sure. It's just what I feel more comfortable doing during this time, getting further away from the crowds, but also immersing myself in something that is going to be rewarding and fulfilling. So, you know, hitting up more state parks and doing the cabin thing. We're in winter now, so it feels seasonally appropriate to just basically hit up as many cabins and yurts and what have you that I can find in Virginia and the surrounding area. So that's kind of like immediate travel goals.
Okay.
And but you asked for tips, didn't you?
Yep, tap tips.
All right, tips. One big tip that I would say that I have is not choosing a destination, whether it be local or international, just based on the location. Okay. For me, I like to, like, location can be a start, but mm-hmm. it's more about what am I looking to gain from the experience.
Gotcha.
Like I've had a trip to Ethiopia on hold for 2 years. Well, I was supposed to go 2 years ago, but work, and then I actually booked travel right before the pandemic and the shutdown. It's probably like in February, and then I had to take a credit, so that's still in waiting. But like, for example, I know that I'm gonna get so much from that experience, going to Africa for the first time, and then also having a friend there that is going to host and show me as much as she can. And I'm gonna get a lot from that experience versus just going somewhere where I don't have any ties just because I wanna see, you know, the landscape or just go vacation on the beach. Like, all that is good, but I try to mix in, you know, levels to where I'm hitting, to where I'm traveling. Does that make sense?
Yep, it does. It does. So in other words, you know, try to match the experiences with the locations. Because, for example, if you're going to the Maldives, don't expect a whole bunch of mountain hiking and stuff like that. Expect a couple water sports and chilling at the beach all day long. But if you're talking about culture and tradition, you can do your Joburg, your Ghana, your Nairobi's and stuff like that, so that you can get a true cultural experience. And then if you're looking for hiking, you find your, you can go to Thailand, you can go to Europe and stuff like that. So definitely understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, because I try to pack in, I mean, even when I'm local. Like, yeah, we can probably blame it on the ADHD, but I like to pack in as much as I can get out of whatever experience to make it more worthwhile. Are you still there?
Yep, still here.
Okay, some software update just interrupted.
Yeah,
no, let me
just ignore that. I installed it right before we started this, and I was afraid it was gonna not work. So just hold off on the install.
Cool. Yeah. So I just try to pack it all in to get the most out of whatever experience it is. So that's kind of where my head is at with that tip. And then another tip I would say is travel light. You know, when I first started traveling, I would think of all the occasions that would, I mean, that's still necessary, because if you have stuff that you need to show up for and you want to dress a particular way, then cool. But instead of packing four different pairs of shoes, I learned how to figure out how can I just pair one or two pairs of shoes with what I have going on. And the less amount of pants and shirts I can figure out how to navigate with, that's what I'll do, because I want to just focus less on what I'm wearing, for example, and more on getting out and just doing and getting out in these streets. Less so.
And also, it avoids a check bag fee, so
that
you
too.
Don't have to worry about all of that. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So yeah, I mean, I'm definitely a huge advocate of packing light whenever possible. I'm trying to figure out how to pack light for this week-long trip coming up.
But, oh yeah, you're going to Aruba, right?
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's shorts and tees. That's all I really need, personally speaking. Yeah. But who knows what other activities we have ahead of us, right?
Did I read you right? You texted me about the bag. So are you taking your bikes to
Aruba? So no, not this trip. So we bought the bags just to be able to start thinking of future trips. Can we take our bikes with us so that we can ride wherever we go?
Yeah.
Because ideally, most places that you go, it's safe to ride a bike, park it right outside the restaurant, and you'll be okay. Yeah. And other places, not so safe. So the goal is, maybe not these bikes, but our future bikes, we're able to pack them up so that we can ship them with us. So the only check bag we'd have would be our bicycles. So, you know, trying to take a little bit out of your page. A page out of your book, you know, be prepared for the adventures ahead. You know what I mean? So with that being said, you know, tell us where people can find you, see the amazing pics of you and your son enjoying life, and, you know, anything that you have coming up that you want people to know about.
Well, I'm on Instagram at madmanralph. My page is private so that I can control the inflow of bots and things and people that you know, tend to try to follow just to attack your inbox. but yeah, that's where you could find the content that I seldomly post.
Okay. And you know, I would be remiss to not ask you, what are some of your goals as a director of diversity at your company? Like, if that's something that you can talk about, that you think might help in maybe 3, 4, 5 years down the line, or just what are your thoughts on that? Like, how do you feel as though that the new push for diversity is going to be something that it's going to change the landscape of how they see people of color?
Well, so diversity, so it's director of inclusion. Mm-hmm. And I decided on that title specifically because if what's done to create a sense of inclusion, a sense of belonging for all the people at your company, especially people of color, then diversity is not going to be as much of an obstacle. Equity, hopefully, then should not be as much of an obstacle, because I feel like those are byproducts of what happens when you do the right thing when it comes to inclusion. So that's why I chose chose that as the title and not the full diversity, equity, inclusion
director. Gotcha.
And I mean, that essentially gets to the heart of it for me is my goal as someone new in that role, because I, for 10 years, worked as an account manager, working and interfacing with clients and with all of the different departments within the agency to bring campaigns to life. That was my career. And then I was approached with this opportunity. So now for me, it's really about learning more so what inclusion means now, what it means from my point of view, so that it's coming from the heart, all the work that I continue to do, and also just making space for other points of views, because I'm only one person within a 150 person agency that, you know, may increase numbers or may decrease, but you know, I'm just one person. So I want to lead with integrity, continue to have a love for what I'm doing, and just make sure I'm doing right by people. And what can get in the way are, you know, maybe initiatives that aren't necessarily hitting at the thing that I know is going to make the most impact, but making sure that there's balance of doing the things that the company wants to do, but also making sure that the things that it needs to do to make real change is happening. So that's where I'm at with it. And that's what 2021 is going to continue to be about.
Well, thank you very much. I do really want to say I appreciate you doing this. I know we tried this once in Myrtle Beach, but
I know, man. We had the view, we had the tree with the.
Yeah, I know. I try to replicate it all back here for you. You know, no justice, none of that ancient tree vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Once again, I really appreciate you sharing all of your experiences from. You know, employment to mental health to just discovering different things. I appreciate you being vulnerable enough to really have these discussions, these tough discussions around life, travel, and COVID, right? Because it's now part of everything that we do. Yeah. So once again, I really appreciate you for really doing this and keep up the great work.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you. You make it easy to answer questions honestly and to have candid conversations. So thank you. I appreciate it.